Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of educational talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshet Harel. Hello. The situation in Israel is not that great, putting it mildly, and today we'd like to talk a bit about it and see what can we do. Yael, take it away. So, we're in times of escalation. We're experiencing terror on a daily basis. September and October of 2015, the Third Intifada. Yeah, and there are people that are really talking about the beginning of the Third Intifada. There's those that say that it's not here yet. There are those that say that we are on the verge of an intifada, and the general feeling that people have is that there's no one to protect us. Everyone's talking about it everywhere. It's a very hard feeling. We know that we're a strong people, but along with our strength and force, still we're very bare and are protected. Today there were even protests, and people didn't send their kids to school, because a feeling of insecurity, and the people are calling out, give us back our security. Today, people were even asked to arm themselves, and the feeling is that we have to protect ourselves, and that there's no one that can protect us, something that we'd expect as citizens. So what's happening to Israel's strength? My first question to you. We're very weak because, first of all, we're giving our enemies, we allow our enemies to be amongst us, in our cities, everywhere, in every city, in every village, on every junction, on every street. They can walk freely. You can't check everyone. They can enter any shop and buy a knife and use it the way they like doing it. And of course, it's impossible to take control of the situation. And we also can't give orders to shoot right, to shoot left, to shoot everyone, because then the whole world will come against us from the outside, meaning we have enemies from the inside, and we have the enemies from the outside, and we're in the middle, in between the two. And our situation is really a very bad situation. We can't respond harshly. We can allow our soldiers to fire, and it's being used by the residents of the territories. And the problem is that today they can enter any place, any school, any supermarket, any mall, anywhere, and do anything there. Meaning we are not in control of the situation at all. We're not in control of the situation. The problem is that we can't operate ourselves with all our desire to take control of the situation, because if tomorrow we will answer with force, the whole world will start shouting at us, will boycott us, and it will be impossible for us to exist in today's world where everyone's interconnected and interdependent. We won't be able to do anything. It's not simply the UN with their talk, but it's like what they did with Russia, with all the limitations they put on trade, and so on. And the Russians, they said that if you worsen the situation, we'll go to war, because they wanted to close off their SWIFT, I think. And then it's really hard. Any buy and sell and everything, it's simply, you disconnect the country. And the Russians said, if you do that, that's it. You have to know that that is a sign for war. Live war. And I think that the siege they put Russia under, the partial siege, but still, I think it was enough for the Russians. And I think that this is the reason they went into Syria, to show you can't do to us what you feel like. But this is something that they can allow themselves to do. We can allow ourselves to do, because we're encompassed by our enemies. Also from within, we let them go everywhere. They can buy apartments next to us. They can go everywhere, actually. And I'm not talking in parliament and everything. And this is why we ourselves, we came to a situation where we're very weak. And here there is already a serious problem. What do we do? I think that there's nothing to do. We can't even turn off their electricity, turn off their water, stop paying them, because they're using our money in order to kill us, and so on. Meaning, we can't do anything. So it follows that if we look at a simple person, he's crying out, where's the security? But suppose if he's elected for office, he becomes a parliament member or something, he keeps quiet. We all remember Sharon and Rabin that were so tough until they came to power. When they came to power, they started bending. They started bending. Sharon, he gave away all the territories around Gaza, and this is the reason for which we have problems from there today. And Rabin did what he did. And we're in a state where we see that the government is incapable of doing any more. Meaning it won't help crying out to Bibi. And it seems to me that he's the last that would give up an inch of security in favor of Arabs. But he can't. He can't. He's doing the maximum that he can. We saw what he did with Iran, how he really went to face the U.S. president, and he wasn't afraid, and he yelled wherever he could. But here he's doing something, but he probably feels that this is the limit. He can't do anymore. Because if there he was only against the Americans and the Europeans and the Russians, they were so-so, then if here we fight back, then the whole world will turn against us. Should we be worried about the escalation in security? Yes. What could it come to, in your opinion? It could come to anything. It could come to bombs, missiles, that they'll really start exploding grenades in the middle of the street, and what can you do? They are very close to us. It's not somewhere behind the fence. There's no fence today. They are really amongst us. And we can't control everything. Even though that today there are good external conditions, that the Syrians, they're occupied with their issues, and Jordan's afraid of Syria, ISIS, and also Lebanon, and the Hezbollah is not that strong, and Gaza is in ruins, and Egypt have their problems with the Bedouins there and so on. Meaning, within our borders, we're kind of in a situation where we can say that, okay, now we have time and a situation where we can really pressure, take care of the supposed stone throwers. But the truth is we can't, because the entire world, with all the problems that they'll have, they'll be more than happy to turn their face to us and shout at us and forget about the rest of the things. This is something that's happening all over the world, that they're let into populated areas, and still they hate us more than they hate them. And still they will not be able to say, ah, you're right that you're putting them in place. The Europeans won't say that, with all the suffering they're undergoing from that very same Arab population. There's a feeling that terror is showing its face all over the world, and everyone's making one hand with it. It's not that everyone's fighting it. In the global world, in a situation where the borders of a country are no longer borders, that you can go in and come out of each and every country, that I can take a boat and get to Spain, Italy, Greece, even England, anywhere, and I'm barely stopped on the way. So what can you do? We allowed the world to be open. The question is, could we keep closing it? That's also a question. Could we keep it closed? But now that it's open, we can't do anything. What is terrorism? Anyone can buy a gun, a knife, a small bomb. Everyone has mobiles. Everyone knows what's going on everywhere at any given moment. There's a good connection between everyone. They all know how to use all of these means. And this is why they're starting to control the world. Terror and terrorism instead of governments and armies. An army can't face terror. An army just can't. It's not built to cope with terror anywhere. Anywhere. Look what's going on in Europe and in the U.S. and even in Russia with all of their regime and everything. And in Israel, our situation is much worse because we can't activate our force, even what we have, that everyone's using their force around the world, and we can't because all of the countries of the world will come against us. In your opinion, are we still strong? Do we have sufficient strength, force? Our strength comes from a simple place that they depend on us in electricity, water, money. They're dependent on us with everything, and we can use that. We know very well what's going on with them, but with all of the logistics, we can't work against them because our hands are tied. You said that an army today can't prevent terror. It's well known. In our country, we're still investing many resources into security. It's not the same security. We're preventing many things with our field work. And there, among the Arabs, we're spending billions and billions in order to buy people, intelligence. Yes, intelligence. And here we're doing lots of things that no one knows about, but that's how it really is. And without that, it would have been altogether. But the problem is that if it bursts out, we can't respond. That's the problem. Usually, we stop it before it happens. But sometimes they get a lot of money, and then they pay a lot of money to all those young guys that have nothing to do, and the kids and their parents, and so on and so forth. And we can't control the situation anymore. So what can we do? Nothing. Nothing. It's not that we don't have many options. We have no options. So what do we do? What they're telling is what we'll have to do. We'll have to fold and get out of here. Is there another option? There's only one option besides that, which is that we will use the higher force. There is no other form of coping with what's going on. especially that not forever will there be problems at our borders. We know that today they're fighting each other and tomorrow they'll hug each other easily. For them to flip something very easy, something very quick. And then from the outside, the neighboring countries will start pressuring us. And also the world in Europe and in the U.S., they won't really be busy with their problems, and they'll start pressuring us too, and start having different summits, weekly summits against Israel like they like. But why against us? There are so many countries in the world. Look what's happening in the UN. What the UN's dealing with in 2014, 2015. I know the facts. I'm just asking myself, why is it happening? I don't care why is it happening. I'm talking about the facts. If they'll have a little free time, we'll be the only ones that they're dealing with. And then from the inside, the way it is now, even more, and also from outside, on our borders, which is a situation that can turn and become very hard, and also the countries of the world, it could reach a state that all of this will happen at once, and then we collapse. It seems to me very strange. We're kind of a country that really, we're the first, I don't know if we're the first, but we're suffering terror for many years. No one takes it into consideration. On the contrary, everyone says that we're to blame for the terror. But everyone comes to learn from us how to cope with terror because, unfortunately, we have a lot of experience. They're not saying thanks for that. They say that we're to blame for the terror we have, but since we have it, they come and learn. It doesn't prevent them from hating us. How do you explain it? How do you explain that we're the country in which all these bad things start and then extend to the rest of the world? Sure, we are the source for all the evil in the world. Says so in the book of Zohar. Because in our hands, we're holding the key for the well-being of the world, for the development, for the good, for the connection, for the love between all people in the world. And we're actually doing everything the opposite way, that what we get is wars, problems, people kill each other, steal, curse, destroy. There's hatred everywhere. There's war everywhere. Poverty, injustice. Who's to blame? The Jews. The Jews are to blame. They're responsible for it, and we talked about it many times, that the method of correction, how to correct human nature, how to invert it from an egoistic nature of constantly receiving and pulling and stealing, either by war or simple theft, changing that nature into its opposite, into bestowal, into love, into giving, into connection. It all depends on us. The method of correction is in our hands. Suppose there is such a method that in a second it's possible to invert from minus to plus. That's it. And we are the ones that have it. The nations of the world feel it. And this is why they hate us. We don't feel that we have this method. And this is why we're continuing with what we have, with the bad. That's it. And therefore, it will continue until we'll understand that we have to change ourselves. Talking in light of the whole terror wave and everything that's going on, searching for a security, we have no choice but to reveal our method of correction, the method to correct ourselves. And once we correct ourselves, it will immediately calm down, immediately. To the extent to which we correct our relations, the wave of terror will calm down. What does one have to do with the other? It stems from the general hatred which we arrange. We're the ones that are arranging all the hatred in the world. Yes. What happens in the people of Israel immediately is copied on to the nations of the world and comes back at us. So you're saying we have plenty of strength. Unfortunately, we have a lot of strength and little brains. And if we want to talk about strength, what does our strength, our sense of security, depend on? It's rubbish. The strength and sense of security, it's a bluff. It's a lie. We have neither strength nor security nor nothing. In the meantime, our entire existence is by grace from above to give us some time in order for us to understand what's going on. Today, there was a grading of all the armies in the Middle East. 15 countries were tested, and we're considered the strongest army in the Middle East, and our air force is the best in the world, and still it won't help. Lady, it won't help, because it's a completely different kind of war. We have to weigh ourselves according to different standards. But it helped us to this day. It doesn't depend on the number of aircrafts you have or how experienced our soldiers are and how good our pilots are. I was in the Air Force myself for many years. I know all these things. It doesn't help. What will help? Only the relations between us. If there will be good relations between us, we'll necessarily project onto the world that same good form of connections between everyone, and everything will calm down. In the US, in Russia, in Europe, everywhere, and especially here, everything will calm down. What do you mean by calm down? There will be no terror? Of course not. The very same way that we'll arrange between us, and that's all you need. You simply have to take all the Jews in Israel and try and make peace between them. How does it work? It sounds like something detached. That's what's interesting, that the nations of the world feel it and talk about it and blame us. And we don't feel it. We don't understand and don't feel and don't want to accept it. But what's the connection between the... Okay, so in order to see the connection, we probably have to get more and more blows. So you're saying that our real strength depends on our ability to be in some kind of... as one. What does it mean, as one? That we will all feel that we belong to one family, a good family. Today there are families that, you know, they're not exactly a role model. And still, among us, there will be people, the same terrorists. No. They will immediately change. They will come to you to help you. So, actually, the fact that I'll change by this, you obligate them to become like you. Internally meaning? Yes, they will come from, they'll turn from bad to good. Necessarily, without saying a word. Simply so. That's how it's going to happen, because it's a network that connects all the people in the world. And we're the ones that determine what's going on in that network. Can you open this up a bit? What is this network? Where is our place in the network? Our place is that even though that we are few, the few of the people, as it says, still we're the ones that determine what's going on in the network. It's like you have a very big instrument, but it has a small operational part that operates all the rest of the systems, all of the big systems. That everything depends on that small part, and we are that small part. It's really like the brain of a certain instrument that operates everything. Yes, everything depends on the way that you aim exactly. And therefore, we have no choice but to reach a good and nice connection between us. And with that good and nice connection, we will necessitate the whole world. Today, the public is saying, if Bibi would have been more like Putin, things would have been different. Putin can't do whatever he feels like either. It's the media presenting him as a macho. It's not true. and we have no one stronger than Bibi. Our feeling is that we're presented as weak and as cowards. Again, Ariel Sharon, he was very tough, man of men. And what, when he came to power, he became a rag? No, he stayed Sharon, only understood that you have no choice, that you're pressured from all directions, and that's how it is. All the big generals, all those that, you know, they come afterwards to power and everyone thinks that, yeah, he'll hit them back. No, it doesn't work. When you look at the world from a broader perspective, what is the role of terror? The terror is a government. The terror is a government, and governments are like, I don't know, like the, like a kind of a national security ministry. I don't know, it's the government with all of its army and police and everything. That's nonsense. You see that the only thing that they're doing is steal what they're doing. But what is the role of terror? Terror is not terror. Terror is politics. It's big, targeted, correctly aimed politics. It's not that it's just some kind of a gang that does whatever it feels like. No, it doesn't work that way. They have systems. They have schools. They're well organized. They get a lot of money. They know how to correctly disperse it and so on. They have an army and training and everything. Terror, it's not like it used to be in the past where there were different anarchist groups. Okay, so we're coming to the end of our show. The only thing left to do is to correct ourselves, and through our unity, we will necessitate the whole world to come to unity, and then there will be peace. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. It was very interesting. We'd like to talk to you more about it. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Through our unity, we will necessitate the world to be united and bring peace and tranquility upon us and our children. Till next time, all the best.